Hey everybody, this is Dan Jarms and this is One Simple Truth, a podcast in which we take one of the items pressing on us today and we examine it in the light of God's all-sufficient word. Today we're going to take a look for a few minutes at Marxism's effect on our current political and cultural situation in the family. So grab your cup of coffee and mine is the Costco roast. Costco coffee roasted by Starbucks. I'm drinking it out of the Kentucky mug from Starbucks as well. All right, we do that because these are heady topics and we need to relax, catch our breath as we start. All right, you ready? This is part three in our series on cultural Marxism. And what I want to do is show the link between Marxism and the contemporary cultural Marxism or Marxist influence. And by cultural, I simply mean that there is a lot of Marxist ideology that has grown and become part of popular culture. Specifically, this issue of family comes to bear because there is a direct tie between Marx's view of the family and Black Lives Matter, the organization's view of family and what they wish to do. Karl Marx, in order to create his communist utopia, saw that the biblical family, he would have called it the Holy Family, he would have seen that the Holy Family or the biblical family contributed to the oppression of the worker. So he knew among multiple institutions that he wanted to dismantle and reform, what we would consider the biblical nuclear family was one of them. He said this, therefore, after, for example, the earthly family is discovered as the secret of the Holy Family, and he's talking about the Lutheran idea in Prussia of the Holy biblical family. The earthly family is discovered as the secret of the Holy Family. The former, the earthly family, must itself be theoretically and practically destroyed. So Marx sought a destruction of that. In fact, influencers of his saw the need to take children from the Western kind of family, or what they would have called the bourgeoisie family, the biblical family, actually take them from a biblical family and put them in a state institution. One of the key influencers of Marx, a theoretician named Owen, saw that the child must be stripped from the family and be educated away from the traditional view. Now, does this continue on today? Yes. In order to establish the end of oppression, the Black Lives Matter organization is following the same playbook. So this is what you might want to hear. They're following the same playbook, whether they're consciously or unconsciously connected to Marx, I don't know, but they're following the playbook. Here's what they say. This is in their manifesto. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable, end quote. That's out of the Black Lives Matter manifesto. So we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family, which is, as far as I can tell in reading and understanding, is simply another way of saying the biblical family. This was well in line. Engels envisioned, Marx's comrade, Engels envisioned communes of 500 to 2,000 people living together, essentially as one big village, all raising the family. Others, like Owen, who was an influencer of those, sought to actually strip children from the home and raise them by the state in one state-run family. Now, what was their hope? That this would end oppression, because the structures of family lead to oppression. And right now, that's the only thing that anybody wants to talk about. So every person is either oppressed or oppressor. And if you're an oppressor, you need to give way to the oppressed. If you're oppressed, your voice must come out. There's nothing else to hear. So the hope is that of dismantling or disrupting, as this says, disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family, will pave the way for the end of oppression. Okay, it's a false gospel for several reasons, but one of the main reasons is continues to be self-evident, and that is an absence of fathers from a marriage and a home is still a well-known statistic for leaving children and families in the cycle of poverty, and the cycle of poor education, where the nuclear family, a loving nuclear family, a stable nuclear family with a father and a mother exist. The success rate in school goes up, the success rate in jobs go up, the rise in standard of living goes up, and it's well known. It's why I've been personally asked over the years to continue to volunteer at a local elementary school, because children have far too few men involved in their lives. So I volunteer when schools meet. I volunteer in a third grade classroom and help kids tell time. Sorry, right? It's real simple things to provide that example. Okay, what does the Bible say about this, and what does the true gospel and the storyline do? From the beginning, God made male and female, and gender is sacred. We talked about that yesterday. Genesis 2, he made marriage. Adam and Eve brought them together. It is not good for them to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. That's how Genesis 2 reads. And so God made marriage. So we have gender, marriage. And as a side, God also made ethnicity. So all three of those things are sacred and valued by God. But on this issue, the reason why God made gender and marriage, and therefore family to flow out of that, because he is making a people for himself, and who will live with him forever, even after they sinned, we still see the importance of a nuclear family, mother, father, and a loving relationship raising children in the knowledge of the Lord. It is because gender is part of this process of God making a people for himself, then that needs to be protected. Because of the incredible need to pass on truths from one generation to another generation to follow the Lord, a stable, loving nuclear family following the Lord is critical. Psalm 78, verse 3, talks about the fathers training the children and training the next generation. You follow Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, and you can see this importance of teaching the children to follow the ways of the Lord, not be rebellious like their fathers were. And this is key. By the time you need to see the New Testament, the gospel in the saving work of Jesus saves man and woman, and then gives new life to the family. So Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 30 talk about the renewed realities of marriage, with a husband being a sacrificial, loving leader of a wife being a respecting helper in the home, both submitting themselves to the truths of the gospel and the word, and God sanctifying them. That's Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 30. Then there is the follow-on of that, which is Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, where parents, fathers, are to train their children in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. And parents together then teach the ways of the gospel to their children. This is a key way God makes a people for himself. So you can see why it would be attacked. You can see why it's important. Why it's important to uphold the understanding of a biblical family. And I would just say, as you share the gospel with people who want another version of the family, you can talk about the bankruptness of breaking from the traditional family, and you can talk about its sin against God's original design, and then you can also talk about how it is God's plan for the future, where one day when marriage is over, because all of the people have been born, God's kingdom is full, and we enter into the eternal state, we all live together as children of God, and even described as brothers and sisters with Christ. That is the final vision. God desires to make a people for himself who are like their older brother Jesus. So here you see the conception of family even going on into the eternal state, the true kind. So that's one simple truth for today. If these are helpful, you can You can subscribe, and please pass these on to your friends. You can share these. And we'll talk about gagging the Christian, the issue facing the day, that if you're a certain gender, a certain color, you can't talk anymore. And we want to say that we want to talk about everybody being able to speak the truth boldly and confidently. So join us again for One Simple Truth.